Good morning. Good morning. I wonder if we'll all get used to standing afterwards. Would you stand, please? We're in Psalms 105, starting in verse 1. And that's page 596 in the Bibles underneath your seat. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Andrew, and I hope you all had an incredible Christmas. We had such a fun time celebrating with you all on Christmas Eve. And this morning, it's just so fun to see all the life in here. And so parents, can I just tell you, I know when your kids are in with you, sometimes you can feel like, shh, hey, not so loud. Just let it rip. You know what? We're all in here. It's okay. We're good. I'm just glad your kids are here with us. They just showed us a thing or two about worship, I think. They got real loud on that shout part, and they were jumping up and down. I'm like, you know what? We might start doing a little more hand motions, okay? So just be ready for it. Might help to get fully engaged. But this morning, we just wanted to take some time as we close out the year. This is the last Sunday of 2025 before we head into 2026. And we just wanted to spend some time celebrating what God has done. And so before I jump into that, before we start talking through a little bit of Psalm 105, I just want to take a moment for us, right where you're at, to just quietly pause. Maybe you've already done this. You've already been thinking around and kind of reflecting on the year that was. But particularly right now, I'd love just to pause, give some space to think through, where have you seen God move this year? Where have you seen him show up in your own life? I know our tendency is to jump to the things that have not gone as well as we thought they would go this year, but let's just stop for a second and go, God, where did you meet me? Where did I see you? Where do I want to give praise? So I'm just going to take a second. It's not going to be quiet in here because that's impossible in this room right now, okay? But we're going to pause. We're going to give some stillness, all right, and just invite God in. So Lord, would you meet us right here? Would you help us to fix our minds on you? To fix our minds on the things and the ways that we've seen you move. Maybe that was personally in our own life. Maybe that was in the life of another. Maybe it was in the life of our family. Maybe it was in our workspace. You showed up in a powerful and profound way. Maybe it was just a small moment in time where you just sensed God's love in your life. So Lord, would you help us? Would you fill our hearts with gratitude this morning towards who you are and what you've done in our lives? So Lord, we give space. Just speak to us now. In the quiet, speak. Lord, I find myself grateful for the little voices in this room, the laughter, the giggling, the joy. Lord, they are yours. And they bring life. And would you help us to return to a sense of wonder, childlike faith in you this morning? Where with joy we would proclaim the goodness of who you are. So meet us in these moments, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, before we jump into Psalm 105, I want to take us back a little bit further. And there's a moment in the book of Joshua in particular when the people are crossing into the promised land. And God says, you're going to cross over the River Jordan. And when you do, when the priests go with the ark and they step down on that water is going to part and you're going to walk through on dry ground. But there was a very particular instruction that they were given. He said, pick 12 men each from each tribe. And as you go through on dry ground, I want those 12 men to pick up a stone. I want you to grab something. And so at the end of all of that, what they did was they stacked these stones. And the purpose of those stones were that when anyone would ever ask, why are those stones stacked in the way they are, that they could recount the wonders of all that God had done. These stacked stones were a remembrance. They were there to point to the glory of God. And what's incredible to me is that all of us who have said yes to Jesus, stepped into life with Jesus, we are living stones that live lives in such a way that when people see us, they should say, what happened here? How can you be joyful even in the midst of hard things? How can you have gratitude when it seems like you still have lack in your life? How can there still be life breathing in you when it seems like all around you is death? And the only answer we can give is because God is good and he has me. My good shepherd walks with me even in the darkest of valleys. He is there for me. And so our lives are to be lived in such a way that we are living stones proclaiming the goodness of who God is. See, but the problem that we see in Scripture and even in our day and age is how quickly people forget how good God is and all that he's done. And when we forget this, we begin to wonder, is God good at all? And when things happen in our life, we wonder, is he going to ever show up again? And again, for us, we experience this too. That thing that you prayed for, that new job opportunity you are so excited to step into, a few months down the road, you are feeling the anxiety and the pressures of this new opportunity. And you're like, why did I ever ask for this? God, what have you done to me? Where once you were so excited. That new thing that you wanted for Christmas, that you were so excited, but you were convinced that was going to fix everything. And then it's already broken. And you're like, no, my life is ruined. It's amazing how sometimes our answered prayers seem like they lead to new problems we didn't expect to come. The responsibilities, the worries, the tension of life have a tendency to choke out any semblance of joy. And then you throw in a dash of disaster at some point in your life, and gratitude and joy seem to disappear entirely. This is why Scripture is the story of the pursuing, faithful, just, merciful, righteous, and loving God who comes after us over and over and over and over again. And this story is told from the beginning all the way through to the end, pointing to Jesus so that it gets into our heads, into our hearts, into our hands, that we understand that he is faithful, that he is good, and that he is with us. In a day and age where we are always on to whatever is next, moving faster than our minds can even process, we often run through hard moments in life without ever truly dealing with them. We move through these pain points without processing them because it's just easier to stuff those things down. But it's not just the processing that we forget to do, it's also the celebrating that we forget to do. When God shows up in a marvelous and mighty way, even in a simple way in our lives, we forget to stop and pause and just thank him for that. We're on to the next thing that we need, and we forget to turn around and build those living stones in our lives and say, no, let me just declare to you the goodness of who my God is. Because the truth that we all need to hear is that God and his great love has come for you and he has come for me. The ache for more in all of our lives is not a design flaw. It's what we were created for. But our wrong actions, our sin, our rebellion against God demands death, demands separation from him. But God has come for us. Jesus came and he lived the perfect, righteous life we never could. He showed us what it means to be fully human in obedience to God and in complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. He took on the cross, dying the death that we deserved as the pure and spotless sacrifice once and for all. And when he was laid in that tomb, he did not stay in that tomb, but 3 days later, he rose again, conquering death, and he invites us into life with him, both here and now and forever. And when we say yes to Jesus, when we acknowledge our need of him as our Lord and Savior, we step into life with him, and it is by grace that we have been saved. And this grace leads us to live with a deep sense of gratitude. We get far more from God than we ever deserve or could ever ask or imagine. See, but so often all we focus in on is the brokenness. I love how one pastor says this, John Tyson. He says, cynicism is killing our nation. It's destroying our hearts. It's putting us in a place where we cannot appreciate the joy that comes from this good news that we have been given. But God has an antidote to cynicism, his presence, his redemption, and his fullness of joy. When we take time to celebrate, whether personally or communally, we are bringing the glory of God into the brokenness of the world around us. We are accurately representing the God we serve and offering tangible grace to the world. So when we begin to pass through the river of another year, I think it's so important that we stop and we remember, and not just remember, but we retell, we declare, we state aloud the good that God has done. What I love even more is that when we proclaim this, there's a multiplying effect that these stories have when we share them aloud. It's no longer just your story celebrating God. Now others can celebrate what God has done in and through you and around you in your life. We become those standing stones that point to God's glory. So when people look at our lives and they say, "What happened here?" we can say, "God happened here. God moved here, and the joy of the Lord is my strength." And so we read from Psalm 105. Why did we begin there? Because it simply gives us this prescription. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered, O offspring of Abraham, his servants, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." Psalm 105 speaks to God's faithfulness. If you read it in its entirety, it begins with praise and it ends with praise. And it just walks through the story of God's people and how he provided for them and showed up in such faithful and consistent ways. It's how he meets us in our mess. See, what this psalm is reminding us to do is to stop, to pause, and give glory where glory is due to God. And listen, when we look for good, you'll start to see it. When you look for bad, it's not hard to find. And if you're only looking for bad, it's just going to consume you and spiral you down. So my question is, what are you looking for? Are you pausing long enough to see the good that God has done? Are you pausing long enough to give glory to the one who is worthy of all of our praise? Have you paused long enough to celebrate that the God of all creation meets you and loves you and wants you? This is why Richard Foster, when he talks around this idea, the celebration of discipline, he actually says celebration is one of the hardest things to experience. He says the decision to set the mind on the higher things of life is an act of the will. That is why celebration is a discipline. It's not something that falls on our heads. It is the result of a consciously chosen way of thinking and living. When we choose this way, the healing and redemption in Christ will break into the inner recesses of our lives and relationships, and the inevitable result will be joy. When we stop and we pause and we reflect and we remember and we retell and we declare what God has done, it roots us, it grounds us in gratitude. And when we root ourselves in gratitude to what God has done, the resulting fruit will be joy for his goodness. Our celebration of God's goodness helps us to resist cynicism. Our celebration, it's not blind to the brokenness that we have experienced. No, our celebration reminds us that even in the cracks of life, God's beauty can still shine forth. This is not a celebration without the acknowledgement of grief. This is a celebration in the face of grief. We grieve with gratitude, trusting in the God of all creation who one day will wipe away every tear. So our joy does not come through the stuffed down tears where we pretend. Our joy comes through actual tears, knowing that even in sorrow, God is with us and our good shepherd does not abandon us. So this morning, what are we going to do? We're going to take some time to celebrate what God has done. Little, big, Whatever that story is that God is birthing in you right now, reminding of you right now, we are going to testify of his goodness. We are going to do what Psalm 105 declares, and we are going to give thanks to the Lord. We're going to call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people. So how are we going to do this? Well, it's audience participation time, okay? I've already seen you can do hand motions and you can move, all right? So I know you're capable. We've done this before where we just take some time to just declare where we've seen God move. And here's the thing that we're going to do alongside this, okay? Just so you know it's coming, I'm going to ask that you stand wherever you are. We've got a couple guys with microphones that they're going to come. They're going to ask you to share that into the microphone because we want to hear you retell the goodness of what God has done in your life. And then if you were with us at all last year, you know that we're not just going to like shout the goodness, but we came fully loaded once again. Someone just picked up the last piece of confetti last week from when we did this last year. But here's how this works. When you stand up, you get to pick someone around you that they're going to get to fire off this confetti cannon after you share. Okay? Because we should share in the joy and the declaration of the goodness of God. And listen, it's going to get real messy in here, but the beautiful thing is joy is messy. Joy, it just spills over into every interaction that we have. And we who have experienced the goodness of Jesus should be a joyful, a gratitude-filled people that give thanks to our good God in heaven that has rescued and redeemed us. And so we're going to step into a time and you balcony people, you're like, well, we sat up here for a reason. Guess what? There's a microphone up there too, okay? So you don't get out of it. And you even get confetti cannons. So I will say maybe aim over this over here. That could be kind of fun. But we're just going to take some time because one of my greatest joys is I get to hear a lot of your stories and what God has done. I get to see it from a front row. And I am so grateful for the way that God is moving in so many of your lives. I'm so grateful for the way that God is moving in and through this church. I'm so grateful for the way that he is making himself known. And so let's spend some time now just declaring of his goodness. So now the hard part. Who's going to go first? Oh, man, we're going to let the youth lead the way right here. Yes, sir.
He's healed me very good.
This is very important, okay? Everyone is tempted to do it this way. Do not do it this way, okay? There is an arrow at the top. You want to point that away, and you're just going to twist the bottom, okay? Last year, we had a couple of malfunctions. Just trying to save you from that, all right? Twist at the bottom. And then we're going to cheer when this thing goes. There you go. You got it, I believe.
And shoot it that way.
Yep. You got it. Go. Oh, man. I'm very nervous right now. All right, Joel's going to... There you go. See, this is why we do. All right.
It's on, huh? Okay. Well, I turned 93 this last November. When I was 90, I took the engine out of my truck and replaced it with another one, replacing all of the good parts and whatnot. Even though I'd had a hip replacement, I couldn't get underneath the car, so I had to have some help. But most of it, I did all by myself. A year ago, I had congested heart failure, and it's really affected my body, but not my mind. And I give joy to God for giving me, even though I have all these things going on, that my belief is strong, I love God, and that I know that he has helped me through this. I have no animosity towards anyone, And I think that that's a, it's such a blessing to know that you don't have to have, that you can have love in your heart. I think that's perhaps the most, the best way to say it. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. I saw that, Ann. Ann's like, aim it at him. This is your moment. You've been waiting.
Okay, so how do I do this?
You just twist it right there at the bottom.
You twist it?
Yep.
Oh, like this?
Oh, it's coming. Oh, we got one up there. We're gonna get to you, Jim. I promise we're gonna get to you next.
Okay, over the last couple of years, my wife and I have been going through some rough times, and the fleshly desires have really got us, and through Christ's intervention, I can now say that our marriage and our life and our walk with Christ has been reconciled, and Crossroads has been a conduit for that.
Praise God.
Good morning. This is actually quite easy for me to do. It's been my walk with Christ that's been changed so much. I've been drawn so close to him by studying and reading his word every day. And so Ezra 10:7 taught me that, one, I need to read the Bible every day. Two, I need to do what the Bible says every day. And three, which is easy for me to do for those of you who might know me, I tell everybody what the Bible says. And as a result of that, my closeness to Jesus has drawn so near that I can almost smell the aroma of him. And it's changed my life so much that I want other people to know. I want anybody that I meet on the street to know about Jesus and how he has changed my life so much. He's changed my relationship with my wife, with my children, with my pastor, with everybody that I know. It has improved. And so I need to tell as many people that I can, and I'm doing it now in this small room, about Jesus and what he did to my life. Hopefully I reflect that every time you see me. Maybe you'll even catch me not being aware of the fact you're watching me. But I hope you catch me doing what Christ would ask me to do every day as I walk with him.
Amen. Thank you. All right. We got one more up there.
Okay, I'm going to try to get through this without crying. First, we had a son come back to the Lord. But in coming back to the Lord, he brought his wife and his three children. Oh, so
God.
That was a total praise.
Praise God.
And then one of our 38-year-old son called us one day to tell us that he had to have open heart surgery. And the beautiful thing about it is that our two other boys, all three of them who love the Lord, came and were with him through the whole thing. And to watch your children be a support to your other children in time of need is just one of the most beautiful things. And A, I was just so proud of them, but I was also so happy to see their love of God being shared with their brother and then with the whole family and just helping one another. And in that whole thing, too, we saw another grandchild being born. So it was just like a total blessing. So we have a lot to be grateful to the Lord for. And he has just shown up over and over and over again in our life.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing.
I feel compelled to share this with the people in this room. As you know, my son has been in Korea. I miss him terribly. But the Lord has put a compassionate pastor who has prayed with me and some wonderful women, both in this church and in my Bible study. And so I know that the Lord has had a hand in helping me through this. And I just want to say thank you.
Got some height. Anyone else up in the balcony?
He's gonna go.
We'll come up to you, Dawn, in just a second. Ashley's going to go, and then we'll come right to you.
I don't like talking in front of people, but this last year, I finished treatments for breast cancer, and God has healed me, and he's still healing me. And I just want to proclaim how good he is and how he's taught me not to fear and just to live each day to the fullest. So he has changed me. He's good.
Jeremiah, we do it.
Well, this is kind of bad news, good news. The bad news is that I lost my wife of 57 years on December 5th. The good news is that through this 22-month of ALS, that my prayers got real simple. Jesus, help. I didn't even know what to ask for. I just asked for help. And I'm here to tell you, he came through every time. He doesn't fail. Every time he came through, and I'm going to embarrass this lady next to me, you knew I would, who was lovingly, caringly taking care of my wife. And I want to thank you for that. And you are an answer to prayer. So you were one of my answers for help. Thank you, Kyla. So I'm here to tell you, Jesus never fails. He always comes through.
Hello. I just want to say that I fell in the darkness a few times, but God has always been there for me, and he's brought me to the light, and now I'm living happier than I ever could be.
Got one up here, and then Joel, you can get.
I'd like to thank God for my family. I could not have picked a better family to be with. I'm very happy, and it just feels amazing to know that I'm loved and that Jesus loves me and my family loves me.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
My name is Benjamin, and Jesus saved me because I got hit by a truck and I almost died.
It was 3 years ago when it was a terrible accident in the parking lot, and thanks for the Lord who gave wisdom to the surgeons. They were fighting for his life. And he miraculously recovered. And within a month, he was back to school.
Yes. Wow. Praise God. Yeah. Got one in the back over there, Joel. I see some hands raised up over here. Anybody up over here too? Okay. You guys are ready? All right. We'll start with Jessica.
This.
We'll come up to you, Nathaniel.
Hi. In 2024, the senior year of our youngest son was diagnosed with a terminal illness. He was given 1 to 5 years to live if he didn't get a bone marrow transplant. So 6 months later, it was a miracle because of his nationality, he was not given good odds to even find a donor. It was a very scary time. But after 5 weeks of being in the hospital and just watching them slowly kill his body so that he could then receive the bone marrow transplant that we got, there was a woman, we don't know her still, he's not ready to meet her, but she flew in. We were at UC Davis Hospital, and she was right below us. And she donated, and they brought up the bag of cells, and they're like, look, it's your cells, they're ready. So we got to watch them march into his body, which was really fun and a miracle. And then this past fall, September, was when he received the bone marrow transplant. It was the exact weekend that our oldest daughter got married. And so we were celebrating our daughter getting married and celebrating our son being alive. And it was just really good to see God's goodness bring us through such a dark time. And so don't give up hope, because he really does. He's just a miraculous God. So thanks. Amen.
This is super simple, guys. We got married in June. It was awesome, and it still is awesome. Go ahead.
I love that. Well said. Got one back here.
I went to Disneyland a while ago.
See, that's the simplicity I love. Like, just worth being grateful for. Oh, it's about to pop. This is a slow roller. Aim up. I got one up here. Katie.
Hi. I get the privilege of getting to work here in the office and get to know a lot of you here. And hear your stories and get to pray for you. I also am on the prayer team here, Thursday mornings, women's prayer team. You can join us if you like. We'd love to have you. But part of that is I get to see how God is answering prayers. I've seen him answer and heal miraculously. I've seen him heal broken hearts, impossible situations he's worked out. I've seen him protect my friend Tony here in a horrible car accident last 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's just amazing to see that God is working. And I just want to encourage you that if you don't see him working or you can't perceive it, he still is working. And I just want to read this encouragement for you from Daniel 10, verse 12. Do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. So I just praise God for responding to us. Even when we don't perceive it, he's working.
Amen. Thanks, Katie. Oh, gosh. I think I get more nervous than anyone. There.
I just wanted to share, and I may get emotional, which has been just kind of this year. It has been the hardest year of my life. But I've experienced God in so many ways. And I can truly say that I've had more joy that I couldn't explain, despite everything that's seemed really difficult and out of my control. And one of the things is I've seen God's providence and the way he's taken care of me and provided in ways that I just couldn't even have asked for, honestly. And he saw needs before I even knew they were going to arise. he provided for me. And then just the joy of being here with my family, my boys, and just all the blessings that I have this year is incredible. So I just feel so thankful. I know I seem so sad, but truly, there's just been so much joy and just the way that God has taken care of me. And I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned this year is I've always worked really hard and thought like I was kind of curating this life. And when I took a step back and went, okay, I'm going through some hard stuff and I just can't do all the things. And I went, oh, okay, God, I think I've been taking credit for a lot of things that you have been doing for me. Because when I stepped back and I just watched and God kept everything going. So again, I'm super thankful and full of joy despite all the tears.
Amen. Anyone else? We got a couple up here. You got one back there and then a couple up here.
God, let me turn around from the sin. Now I'm good. From the sin.
Promise, Andrew, I'll be brief.
I was going to say you don't have to be, but I know you. So
yeah, I know.
Thank you for that.
I was promising in advance.
That wasn't a dig. We have a long, long history. A long, long history. I'm just grateful.
Andrew
Robin's
was my
here.
Oldest youth pastor many years ago. No. So we go way back. Several years ago, God really took me on a journey that has been novel worthy. I have two children that have cheated death one, two times. I myself had a massive stroke last year and was completely paralyzed on my right side. Through that, God sent me to live with my dad. I just lost him at Thanksgiving. And along with him, I lost that entire side of my family. And it reminds me of when my daughter was a baby, and I used to say to her, girl, I invented stubborn. This is not going to go well for you. I'm going to win. It's like what I'm doing now with the enemy. Dude, Jesus is going to win every time. Doesn't matter what you do to me. Doesn't matter what you send my way. All you're doing is making me crawl to him at this point. So it doesn't matter what you lose. If you're constantly asking him where you go when it's gone, he gives it back. What you're willing to let go, he gives back. And I'm very grateful for the time I got to have with my dad. And I'm very grateful for all the blessings he's shown me through all the trials of the last several years and all the beautiful miracles he's given me. So if you know anybody that has challenges with believing in God, send him my way. I'll convince him in about 5 minutes.
I love that. Praise God. All right, I got one right here.
Okay, this is just a little bit hard for me to get up and say this in front of everybody, but I was having a little difficulty with my son, my only son, at Christmas Eve, and for the smallest reason, I think he turned on me and just unloaded everything he didn't like about me. And so I was kind of having a gloomy time, and I went back and looked at my life back in my childhood from then to the present day. And I kind of looked at all the tragedies, brokenness in my families from, oh gosh, I've had suicides in my family. I've had murder in my family. I've had, of course, divorce and churches that rejected my parents for divorce, and lost my brother to cancer. And I could go on and on. But what I want to do here now, I'm going through a little difficult time, but I think I would say that everybody here would agree with me. Sorry, I'm a little too emotional. But the blessing of this church in my life, I cannot overstate the quality of the pastor here. Andrew is just paramount in my thinking. I'm sorry. I'm so emotional about this, but it's my, I think, my biggest blessing is this church. Thank
you. On? Is this working?
Should be.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. So many things that have happened this year that I'm so grateful for that only God could do. But when I look around, the things that I'm most grateful for are the people who are here, who weren't here last year, who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's truly the biggest miracle that the Lord can do, is when he opens the eyes of the blind. And last year we as a church came together and prayed for people who didn't know him yet, and to see those, some of those people here today, like, that honestly wrecks me. So thank you for praying for those people, and for those of you who have prodigals in your life who don't know him yet, don't give up on them. Truly just keep praying, because he loves them, and he'll do what only he can do. We just have to keep believing that he'll do it. So, amen.
My name is Richard, and this is my wife, Vicky. And, you know, you can go through life feeling pretty invincible. You know, nothing going wrong in your life, not really being ill, sick. At the beginning of the year, both of us got really, really ill, really sick. And, I mean, we just got knocked upside down. And so we had family praying. We had friends praying. We had this church praying for us. And God does miracles. We're healed. And it just blows my mind. And we just feel God is so good. Thanks, God.
We're out of poppers. We're out of poppers, so just clap one more time. Awesome. We got one here and then one right here.
Yeah. So this Christmas, I didn't have a whole lot to be thankful for, because I'm a Las Vegas Raiders fan. So, no. But this Christmas, I realized I had all my family in town. I'm the youngest of seven. All of them have kids, and so we had plus 20 for everything, and it was a lot. And something I've noticed is a lot of my siblings have walked away from their faith. My parents raised us as Christians, and a lot of my siblings walked away from their faith. And that's always been really hard on me, but more so really hard on my parents. So while I was sitting here and hearing a lot of you share really awesome things, I just wanted to maybe love on you and encourage you parents who, have kids who are either following the faith or not. Something I just want to point out is God is faithful, prayer works, and we have a family right here for a reason.
That's a good word.
Good morning. I'm here visiting my son-in-law and my daughter, and I just want to tell you, you are looking at an 85-year-old woman that never really trusted that God was watching out for me, much less his son. So I went along my life making a lot of money, being happy, loving my daughter, loving my son-in-law, my husband. And then one day, I got really sick. They came to take care of me, and they did. So when I was better, I said to them, let me send you to Hawaii because you've been so wonderful to me. You know what my daughter said? I don't want to go to Hawaii. I want you to go to church with me. So I did. And I said to her in church, Laura, I am not falling on the floor. Like a lot of people I've seen falling on the floor, I am not going to do that. Well, here comes this pastor from Nevada, touched me on the forehead, wham, down on the floor I went. I said, what happened to me? She said, you were slain by the Spirit. Well, guess what? Now I do Bible study. I love my church. I love my pastors. All the people that were not good for me, God sent them away from me. And now they say, you're so happy. Maybe I've always been that way. My mom was that way. But the joy I feel whenever I'm sad or anything comes up that shouldn't, I latch on to the Lord. I thank Jesus for holding on to me and not letting go. And not letting me get weak and think I know what's good for me. So I just want to tell you that after all of these years, I just glory in the Lord. I am grateful for his son. And every Sunday in church, I'm the one that says, thank you, Jesus. Because really, I was saved.
Praise God.
Oh, Ace, you're going to be it. You're going to be it. Oh, just kidding. You're going to be second to last.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Is this thing working?
You're on.
So it was kind of funny on the way to church today. Me and my wife were talking about how we feel like God had brought us together, because there had been so many times in our life when we were younger that we'd crossed paths, but it wasn't our time to meet and start our journey. And for someone who didn't grow up in the church, didn't grow up with faith, we started a family and have turned to God, and it's just been beautiful ever since.
Awesome. I love that.
This is really frightening, so I'm sorry, but...
You got it.
High school has been a lot. During the beginning of the year, there were a lot of friends who abandoned me, friends that I called really close, and now they won't even look at me without being disgusted for whoever knows the reason. And although it really hurt throughout the entire time, I tried telling myself that the only reason this was happening was because God was telling me that those friends weren't good for me. And he was trying to send me away from them so I could find better friends and better people who care about me. And in sophomore year, I have the closest friend group I could ever have that really love God and convinced me to go to Bible club with them on Wednesdays as well. And throughout all the pain I felt upon being abandoned, God taught me that I can use that pain to help fuel me to do better. Instead of wallowing in sadness and just thinking about how sad everything is, I can use the pain of being abandoned and being forgotten and use it to help other people who feel like that as well, to show that when they feel like no one else cares, that someone who feels the exact same way can be there for them and help them. And I want to show everyone, the people who care about me and the people who hate me, that I can save people with a smile the same way God saved me.
That's awesome. Thanks, Liz. Thanks, buddy. If you notice in the midst of so many of the things that are being shared, and so many of the moments of deep gratitude, it's not always coming out of the best moments in life. And yet God shows up in those moments and he meets us in powerful and profound ways. And he reminds us that he has us, that he sees us, that he's with us, and he walks with us through those deep valleys, and he leads us beside still waters that we might find rest and peace in him. This is the goodness of our God. That he doesn't abandon you. Ace, he doesn't abandon you, and he never did, right? He was there with you. And now he's going to use you in the lives of others to come alongside. This is the beauty of declaring these stories, because I know that as many of you were sharing, there's others in this room that maybe are walking in the midst of something, and they're a little bit behind where you are right now, and they're wondering, does the light still shine? And when you declare that, you're saying, yes, it shines, and it shines brighter still, so continue forward in the Lord. And so as we step into 2026, my prayer for you is that you step into it with a deep sense of gratitude, that you don't take God for granted, that he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to go deeper with you. He wants to meet you in every pain point, every joy point, every aspect of your life. He wants to walk with you. And so I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to sing one last song together as we go out this morning. But I just want to pray over us and pray for you and just thank God for all that he has done, is doing, and will do. And so, Father, we do just come with deep gratitude this morning. We give thanks and we give praise to you, the one to whom all credit is due. Lord, I thank you for the stories represented in this room, the stories that we got to hear. Father, of those who were far from you coming to you, from those who were sick who were healed, those who were in pain but found hope in you. Lord, those who felt lost and alone, and yet you used people around them to come and to speak hope and to point them to you. Father, would we continue to be a place where we are living stones that point to your glory? Father, would we continue with these stories, even into our lunches, our meals this week, just sharing all that you have done, all that you are doing? And Lord, I know that there's many in this room that are still carrying very, very heavy things. Maybe they're listening right now and they still sense, I'm not at a point where I can give praise because it feels too fresh, it feels too real, it feels too daunting. And so Lord, I pray that you would meet them right now. That you would remind them that they can come to you and they can find rest for their weary and heavy laden soul. That you give us strength far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Lord, that in you, we find life. So as we sing these words, as we proclaim your goodness, Lord, we want all glory, all honor, all praise to you, the King Most High. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to encourage you to grab one of these little pieces that's probably around you, and that's not just a cheap way to help us clean up. But kids, as many as you want to take home with you, your parents will love it. They stick on you. But I had one of these from last year, and I put it somewhere where I would see it, and just to remind myself to give praise to God for what he's doing, to remember who he is and what he has done and what he will do, and to give him honor where honor is due. That's why Psalm 105 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." So in this year to come, may you seek his presence continually. May you be full of gratitude for all that he has done, giving thanks for his wondrous deeds, finding rest for your weary soul in the presence and the peace of Christ. And for you Niners fans, may the Lord console you later this afternoon and meet you profoundly in your pain.
Cut the feed, Jake. Cut the feed.
You guys, I just want to say, as we get out of here, in 2025, our last time, I love you. I love getting to serve. I love the people I get to serve with. I love what God is doing in and through you. But the most important thing that you know is that God loves you. And he loves you deeply. And he has so much more for you as you lean into him. And my prayer is that you would continue to draw near to him as he draws near to you. Don't waste your time on lesser things. Fix your eyes on Jesus and live. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you and Happy New Year.